We're going to continue on in the book of 1 Thessalonians. We've been studying this for some time. Last week, we looked at 1 Thessalonians 4. We looked at God's will for our life. God's will for our life in verse 3. This is God's will, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality. That's God's will for our lives. That we be holy as He is holy. That's a high calling, but that's what we've all been called to. So this week, we're picking up in verse 9. Have you ever had one of those days where you just felt like being done with people? You say, you know what, I just want to live in the mountains like a hermit away from everybody. I think we can all say, yeah, I've had one of those days. Maybe you've even had one of those days this past week where someone has said something to you or done something to you or rubbed you in the wrong way. How do we get to this point? You know, or why do we get to this point? I think we get to this point because obviously people are sinful. People do things that hurt. People say things that hurt. People do things that destroy. And as a result, people can be a real pain to be around. Can they not? I mean, when you're dealing with people, people will hurt you. That's just the way it goes. That doesn't give us an excuse to just give up on people. I know that's what we want to do, and that's what our flesh tells us to do. I'm done with people. I'm going to go live in the mountains, and I'm going to live like a hermit, and I'm just going to live off the land like Jeremiah Johnson, like the mountain men. I'm just going to be self-sustaining. I'm going to need nobody. I think there's an element in all of us that wants to be that way. But the one thing is, Christ has commanded us as believers to be the light of the world. He's also commanded us to be the salt of the world. You know, we can't possibly be the light and the salt and really truly be a selfish hermit, can we? We have to be with people if we're going to do that. We have to reach people. We have to work with people. We have to live with people. We have to be around people so that we can impact them for Christ. We can't just give up on people. The Bible tells us as brothers and sisters in Christ that we're supposed to be encouraging each other and sharpening each other towards the things of God. There's really no such thing as a hermit Christian. We need each other. As believers, we are called to be separate from the world. Yes, we're supposed to be in the world, but not of the world. We can't allow the world to impact our mindset. The mindset of the world is carnality. That's where we all start out. And that's where we can all end up if we don't put off what Paul says, the old man, the flesh. And that's constant. That's a constant battle within us. Read Romans chapter 6. Paul says, that which I want to do, I do not do. And that which I do not want to do, I end up doing. And you can just see Paul's struggle there. We all have that struggle. We've all had those days where we just want to react in anger, where we want to live by the flesh. But daily, we have to put off the old man and not gratify the desires of our flesh, but put on the new man. If we're going to live, we as believers are supposed to live together. We're to grow together. The Bible says we're to serve together. We're to worship together. We're instructed by God to encourage each other in the things of God. It's important that we remember that when we're dealing with believers, we're all saved by God's grace. And all of us are still susceptible to reacting in our flesh and living by the flesh. And at times, we as believers, we're going to say things that we shouldn't. We're going to do things that we shouldn't. And if you think that, oh, I just got to go find another church that's perfect, there's no church out there that's perfect. Every church that you ever go to, there will be somebody there that does something that hurts you. They'll say something. They'll do something. The pastor will do something. You're never going to find it. If you're looking for it, you might as well just keep looking. Everyone's going to hurt you. And so we want to, at these times, throw in the towel, give up on working together, give up on each other. But we're never at liberty to stop growing in our love for each other. Did you know that? We're never at liberty to say, you know what? That person's hurt me and I'm done. I'm done. We're never at liberty to throw in the towel with our brother, our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. That's what Paul tells us here in Thessalonians. He reminds us of the simple truth in Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 4. After he finishes speaking about the importance of seeking to be holy as Christ is holy, he says, part of being holy as Christ is holy is demonstrating love. Christ demonstrated love to us, and we're to demonstrate that love to others. God wants us to abound in love for others, to continue to grow in our love for each other. Look at this. He says, therefore, he who rejects us does not reject man but God, but he has given us his Holy Spirit. Verse 9, but concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. The first reason we're to abound in our love for each other is right there. Paul tells us we are taught by God. That is the word theodidaskatos. Theodidaskatos. Taught by God. God taught. Theo, God, didaskatos. That means taught. We are taught by God to love. God has taught us to love as believers. He's taught us this very truth by his very life. He sent his only son, Jesus, to die for us. 1 John chapter 3 and verses 16 through 19 says, by this we know, because he laid down his love, his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whosoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us love in word or in tongue. Let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and on truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth and sure assurance of our hearts before him. We're to be demonstrating love, John tells us in 1 John, because God demonstrated his love. Listen to this in 1 John 4. This whole book of 1 John is about love. 1 John 4, verses 7 through 11 says, beloved, loved by God, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone who is love is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God. Did you understand what God is telling us here, what John is telling you? If you do not love, you are not of God. See, you can't not stop loving someone who is your brother and sister in Christ. You have no right, because God tells us he loves us and we are to love. For God is love. And in this, the love of God was manifested towards us, was revealed towards us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might love through him. And in this love, not that we loved God, but that he first loved us, and that he sent his Son to be the propitiation, that's that wrath-appeasing sacrifice, for our sins. Beloved, loved by God, if God so loves us, we ought to love one another. That's not an option. That's a direct command taught by God. Love. Love because God loved. Paul reminds these Thessalonians that they were taught by God to love one another. God instructs us to love. Failing to demonstrate love to others is ultimately failure to imitate Christ, to be holy. God is love. And he demonstrated his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, we never deserved God's love. There was never a point where he looked down through time and said, oh, I'm going to die for so-and-so. I'm going to die for so-and-so because he demonstrated that he loved me. No, all he saw was his enemy. All he saw was our sin. And yet he chose to love us. He chose to love us despite the fact that we were his enemy. We were his enemy and we deserved nothing but an eternity in hell. Matthew chapter 22 and verses 37 through 39, you know that God says this is the greatest commandment. Actually, Jesus said this. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And on all these two, the commandments hang, all the law and the prophets. We're to love God, all of our fiber. But then we're to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. We're never to stop increasing in our love for others because God has taught us this. God loved the world unconditionally. He loves the world with the agape love. That's that selfless love. That's that love of, I'm going to love you expecting nothing in return. I'm going to love you whether you deserve it or not. That's the type of love that God demonstrates towards us, and that's the type of love that God commands us to demonstrate towards our fellow brothers in Christ. We shouldn't just love them because they deserve it. We should love them because God tells us to. In fact, there's going to be a lot of times where people downright don't deserve your love. People are going to do things that are going to hurt you. That doesn't give you an excuse not to love and to grow in love. God taught this love through his Son. Jesus was our propitiation, that wrath-removing sacrifice. He did what we could never do for ourselves. and he expects us and he teaches us to demonstrate this same love to others. Paul was telling the Thessalonians, you need to abound in love. You need to grow in love because we've been taught by God to love. Then notice this. He goes on, taught by God to love one another. In verse 10, and indeed you do so towards all the brethren who are in all Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more. The second reason why we need to love, not only is because it's taught by God, secondly, because love is ever increasing. It never stops flourishing. You notice that? Paul says, indeed, you do so towards all the brethren. You are in all Macedonia, but we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more. Paul actually commends these believers for their love. Their love for the brethren in all of Macedonia. He commends them. He says, hey, you've been doing this. Great job. But he says, you still need to grow in this matter. You still need to increase. And that idea of increase means to superabound. To superabound in quantity and in quality. In quantity and in quality of love. Be in access, to have an abundance of love. You need to be increasing with more and more love. In other words, you've never arrived. You've never shown enough love where you can just sit back and say, you know what, I don't have to love anymore because I've demonstrated enough love. We can never love enough. God wants us to have excessive abundance of love for each other. No strings attached. And I think that's sometimes, unfortunately, the way we love people. We love people with strings attached. I'll love you if you deserve it. I'll love you as long as you exchange the love back. That's not the type of love we're supposed to be increasing in. We've never arrived when it comes to loving each other. We have to constantly be aspiring to grow in our love for each other, which implies that it's not going to be easy. In fact, it's sometimes downright difficult to love others in Christ. It implies that we're never going to have the right to stop loving others because they have hurt us or offended us. Just because somebody does something that rubs us wrong, or may even be something that we're against personally, maybe it's a personal preference that we're against, does not give us the liberty to stop loving them. Even if they do something that we have convictions against, we should still love them. We can disagree, and we should develop godly convictions, but that doesn't mean we should stop loving. Remember what Paul said in Romans chapter 12 about the body of Christ? He says this in Romans chapter 12 and verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. You know what that word hypocrisy means? Saying one thing and doing another. Being a hypocrite. Let love be without being a hypocrite. Okay? Abhor evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence. Make every effort possible to love each other, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. This is what love looks like. We're commanded to grow. Paul was commanding these believers to grow in our love for each other, no clause included. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Love unconditionally as Christ has loved the church and gave himself for it. Paul then gives these Thessalonians practical ways that they can increase in their love. They can flourish in their love. The first one, he says this, but we urge you, brethren, that you increase in your love more and more, that you aspire to lead a quiet life. Most of you are thinking, yes, this means I can be a hermit. This is right here in the Bible. Aspire to be to have a quiet life. See? I'm supposed to go live in the mountains. It's not what Paul is saying. That word quiet, aspire to live a quiet life. That word aspire means to study, to strive earnestly. Make it one's aim. Make it one's aim to what? Quiet life means to keep quiet, stay at home. Has the idea of refraining from labor. Really, it has the idea of being less frantic. Less frantic. Aspire to be less frantic. So really, the first practical way Paul's saying that they can grow and increase in their love is to be restful. To be restful. He says this, a person who is constantly on the move, who's constantly just filling their lives with chaos, and they're just constantly go, 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 go. You know what happens? They have less time for their walk with God. And because they're spending less time in their walk with God, They're not being fed by the Spirit of God. And a person who fills his life with lots of things, he has less time to spend in the Word and less time to focus on his walk with God, and thus he's less likely to exhibit love because he's not focusing on God. And so he's more likely to react in the flesh. Love is a fruit of the Spirit that comes by walking in the Spirit, which only happens if we're being renewed by the Spirit. You understand that? Renewing of the Spirit comes by being in the Word of God. We cannot expect to be walking in the Spirit if we're not being fed by the Spirit. Spirit-fed equals Spirit-led. It's that simple. And some of us aren't spending time in God's Word, and then we wonder, why am I struggling to exhibit love? Maybe it's because you filled your lives with so much things, and I am guilty of this just as much as anyone else. Maybe I've made my life so busy that I'm not focusing on my walk with God, and I'm only focusing on myself. And maybe I'm reacting in the flesh. That's why I'm not walking in the Spirit, because I'm not being renewed in the Spirit. We can't expect to live by the Word of God and live by the Spirit of God if we're not allowing the Spirit of God to renew us. We can't do it in our own strength. We can't live the way Christ has called us to live in our own strength. It's impossible. We need God's help every day. We need to be in the Word of God. We need to see it as important. And you know what? We make time for what is most important to us. We really do. And if the Word of God is important to you, if you see that you can't live without it, you'll make time for it. We need to make more time for spending time in God's Word. We need to make more time so we can spend time in prayer with God, communing with Him. That's how we renew our spirit. That's how we can expect to grow in our love. That's how we can expect to live for God. So maybe the key here, the idea is to be restful, is to be less frantic. Maybe you need to cut some things out of your life so that you can spend more time with God. So you can be more restful, spiritually restful. So you can focus on the things that matter, living for God, loving others, loving God. The second application, he says, is this. The second practical way you can live this now is not only to be restful, aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business. Mind your own business. That word mind means to exercise, practice, accomplish. Mind. Exercise, practice, accomplish. Own business means pertaining to oneself, one's own. Take care of your own things. Stop trying to fix your brothers and sisters' problems and start fixing your own problems. This is not me that's telling you this. This is what Paul was telling the Thessalonians and what is ultimately being told to us. If you want to grow in love, start dealing with your own problems. That's exactly what is said in Proverbs 25 and verse 17, which says this, seldom set your foot in your neighbor's house, lest he become weary of you and hate you. Wow. Deal with your own affairs. It's not wrong to come alongside of another brother and sister in Christ and help them along if asked. But I think more often than not, we like to stick our nose in things that we shouldn't. We try to fix other people's problems when sometimes we need to start working on our own. If we want to truly grow in our love for our brothers and sisters in Christ, start dealing with your own things and let your brothers and sisters in Christ deal with their things. Now, it's not wrong. It's never biblical. I want you to understand this. If something comes between you and your brother, this is not saying that it's wrong to go and confront your brother. We know, biblically, that if there's something between you and a brother that's sin, you should go to that brother. It says in Matthew 18 and verse 15. It says this, that if your brother sins against you, go and tell his fault between him and him alone. Don't go telling everyone about your fault that you have with so-and-so. Talk to that person about your fault. Deal with it with him. Deal with it with her. Go to him alone. Solve that problem. And if he hears you, you've gained your brother. If he doesn't, take the matter to someone else. Take it before the church leaders. And if he doesn't hear them, then take it before the church. Hopefully it never has to go that far. So I don't want you to understand that this idea of minding your own business doesn't mean that it's wrong to confront sin. But sometimes we're so ready to pick out the pettiest little things. We got to understand that we all are sinners. We all make mistakes. We've got to stop beating each other up, and we've got to start looking and working on ourselves. We all could take a good hard look in the mirror sometimes. Mind our own business. If it's not a matter of sin, if your brother and sister chooses to do something that you don't agree with, leave them alone. Exercise your own stuff. Practice your own stuff. This is a practical way to show love to your brothers and sisters in Christ. Some people just love to be a part of other people's business. And I don't want to hear people say this either. Well, Pastor Paul says, I have the right to say, that's none of your business. Because that's not showing love either. Even if somebody does stick their nose into your business, and they shouldn't be, it doesn't give you the right to stop showing love. It doesn't. So, somebody's being nosy. Love them anyways. That's what Christ would do. That's what Christ did. We need to be more, we need to be growing and abounding in this love. Sometimes we get so uptight, so ready to bite people. We need to be more ready to show love. We need to be careful how we respond to those who get into our business. We need to be careful how we react. Because as soon as we react in the flesh and we start getting upset and angry, we're not walking by the Spirit, we're walking by the flesh. I love this. 1 John 4:8, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. 1 John 4:20, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he's seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. We must love each other. We never have an excuse or a reason to stop showing love. These are not my words. These are the words from the Bible. The third practical way we can increase in love is not only to be restful and mind your own business. The third one is this. He says in verse 11, that you aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your own hands as we command you. Work with your own hands. Labor. Make a living for yourself. Do not be a bum. Work hard so as not to be a bother to other believers, to not be a burden. A man or a woman who works hard with his hands to provide for his family demonstrates love not only to his family but to his fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, because they're not being a burden to those who are working and seeking to provide for their own. In the Greek culture, work was looked down upon. The Greeks tried as much as possible, as much as they could, to give work to their slaves. But in the Jewish culture, working with your own hands was considered a blessing from God, and it was esteemed by God. It was looked heavily upon, like hard work was a good thing. Working with our own hands should never be looked down upon. I believe that God blesses those who work hard. We need to teach the next generation of young people this principle. If we do not teach the next generation to value hard work, the church is going to diminish because people are not willing to put in the work in the church and outside of work, outside of church. We've got to teach young people. We've got to teach this generation that hard work is good, and it's a good thing, and we show love to others by working hard, not only in our workplace, but also here at church. Being willing to serve, being willing to roll up our sleeves and get dirty and work. That's what we need to be doing if we want to love each other and grow in love. I'm so thankful for the values that were instilled in me as a young person by different people, my parents, my grandparents, Pastor Chuck, so many people that invested in me and taught me how to work hard. You know, that's not being taught in our culture today. Our culture teaches you, do as little as you can and try to get as much money as you can. That's not biblical. That's anti-biblical. The Bible teaches us to work hard. To work hard, to make a living. That's showing love. We need to teach our young people to do this. If we don't, it could really drastically affect our church because we're not going to be exhibiting love and working together. We've got to change the culture in our homes and in our church if we want to see the church thrive. So not only is love increasing more and more, not only is it flourishing, and not only, looking for my first point here, not only is it instructed by God, but thirdly, he tells us this, that you may walk properly towards those who are outside, that you may lack nothing. The third reason why we need to be abounding in love is because love is light to the lost world. Love is light to the lost world. Paul commands these believers to increase in their love for each other, not only because it benefits the body of Christ, but believers take notice, and it helps win people to Christ. Paul told the believers in Thessalonians, and he's telling you, when seeking to demonstrate the love of Christ in your life, people will be affected, both saved and unsaved. People will be affected by you increasing in your love, by abounding in your love. That word, walk properly means decently, honestly, And that word outsider means foreigner or strangers. It really means the lost. We need to be walking properly towards outsiders, towards those who are lost. We may lack nothing. When we grow in our love for others and seek to live a quiet life, and we mind our own business and we work hard with our hands, the lost will notice. And it points them back to the source of our love, which isn't us, it's Christ. That's why we're to love. That's why we're to continue to grow in love. It's because Christ loved us. That's why we're to be doing these things. When true selfless love is displayed in our selfish world, it says, do everything in your power to make life easy for you. And if someone gets in your way, just bulldoze them over. It sticks out. Even small acts of selfless love stick out in our generation. It's like a light in a dark world. It's like a light in a dark cave. You ever been in a cave where it's total darkness? And you flip on a light, and it's total contrast to what's there. That's exactly what happens when we choose to grow in love. When we choose to love each other instead of react in the flesh, it shows the world there's something different about these people. I want what they have. I want to know about this type of love. When we seek to live out this agape love, it makes us independent of the world and totally dependent upon Christ. And we lack nothing because we have everything we need. We cannot display this type of selfless love without the supernatural indwelling of the Holy Spirit and His work on our behalf. We need God's help. We can't demonstrate this type of love in ourselves. If we try, we fail. We mess up. We hurt. And that's why the church is full of sinners. And that's why we need to be constantly be choosing to love despite what people may say and or do. So let's seek to abound in our love for others by abounding in our love for Christ. Conclusion, we never have arrived in showing love. We never have the right ever to stop showing love, no matter what's been done to you. Because remember, Christ loved you and you never deserved it. You are to demonstrate that same type of love and forgiveness. Let's pray. Father, it is truly difficult at times to demonstrate love. Sometimes people say, do things that really hurt. Father, I pray that, Father, we would remember what your Son Jesus did for us. And Father, I pray that we would forgive and that we would demonstrate love as you had demonstrated love to us. Help us to never stop growing in love. Because, Father, this truly is God's will for our life. If we truly want to be holy as He is holy, we truly want to be sanctified, we need to love because Christ is love. We just thank you and we praise you for this reminder. May we go forth this week, and when people hurt us, may we love them as Christ loved us. In Jesus' name.